Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about engaging with the gospel. Engaging with the gospel. We said we've been joining the churches across the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada dealing with this topic about the gospel. And we started by saying, first and foremost, we must know what exactly is the gospel. We talk about the gospel, we sing about the gospel, we proclaim and teach it, but we must be certain that we understand what exactly is the gospel. And we spent some time talking about that, and we basically landed on two things. The word that is translated gospel in the New Testament literally means, and sometimes it's translated this way, it literally means good news. The gospel is good news. Or I've been putting it the other way lately. If it's not good news, it's not the gospel. The gospel is good news. But of course we had to ask, the good news about what? And we basically said it's the good news about Jesus. Who Jesus is. Knowing Jesus, as Roger helped us to understand in our worship time, that he reveals himself to us. He gives us a glimpse of who he is. That's the gospel. Beholding Jesus and rejoicing in who he is and what he has done for you and me. The good news of the gospel. But there are many aspects of the gospel that we need to understand. And this morning I want us to talk about grace. The gospel of grace. You really can't understand the gospel if you don't understand grace. So we need to then ask ourselves, what exactly is grace? The English word grace can confuse us, and has often confused people in the church when we talk about grace, because we use that word in so many different contexts. For example, when you sit down to have a meal, you may ask the grace. Or if you go to a dance recital this afternoon and you see someone dancing beautifully, you might say that person is a graceful dancer. Or if you meet someone this afternoon who's very kind and generous, you might say that person is very gracious. We've used the same word, but in three very different contexts. So it kind of confuses us. Well, of course, we're talking about the grace as it's revealed to us in the Bible, and primarily thinking of the New Testament, although I want to hasten to say the Old Testament is filled with God's grace as well. In the New Testament, the Greek word that is used to describe, to mention or to express grace literally means joy or to rejoice. Grace is joy. Grace is to rejoice. But we know it actually means much more than that. Because just as in the English, the Greek word is a multifaceted word that to truly understand it, you have to translate it in context, in its setting. And so as we look at the context of the idea of grace, we know that the New Testament is speaking of God's grace. And when we're speaking of God's grace, we're basically speaking of God's love in action, specifically through unmerited favor. God's grace is God's love in action, expressed to you and me in unmerited or undeserved favor. It is love shown to those who are undeserving, to those who cannot earn it. I read this little illustration that maybe will help you understand it. Someone has said, when a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that is a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that is a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that's a good picture of God's unmerited grace. That is what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. Someone else has put it this way. When grace in simple terms is God's unmerited favor and supernatural enablement and empowerment for salvation and for daily sanctification. God's grace is his love in action shown to you and me as unmerited favor. So what does that mean for you and me? What does it mean for us to know grace, to be the recipients of grace. If I were to ask you, how would you describe the grace of God? I'm guessing that a lot of us would probably answer by saying forgiveness. When we think of grace, we quite often think immediately of forgiveness, and we'll see that is certainly a part of it. But what I want us to see that grace is so much more, although forgiveness is a wonderful gift, it's so much more than simply grace. Because simply forgiveness, because God treats us with grace, because he treats us with unmerited favor, we have so many wonderful things this morning. We have, among other things, first and foremost, the guarantee of salvation, the guarantee of peace with God. Paul puts it this way in his letter to Titus, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." Paul's wording here suggests that grace is the means of delivery of salvation to all those who by faith respond. We know that famous scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, in which Paul writes, "It is by grace we have been saved." Grace has been delivered, or salvation has been delivered to you and me on the wings of grace. Paul said that salvation is, or that grace is bringing salvation. I was intrigued by that thought. What exactly does Paul mean by grace bringing salvation? So, of course, I had to look it up. I found that the term bringing salvation is actually one Greek word, and it suggests that God's grace makes salvation visible. Or another way of thinking of it is this: God's grace gives us the power to believe that his salvation is in our grasp. It makes it visible to us. It makes it real to us. God's salvation is more than a theology. It's more than a philosophy. It's more than an idea. It's something that's real, that changes our hearts and changes our lives. And we can, by God's grace, grasp it. We can see it today. There are many people who feel like they cannot know the grace of God. They cannot know salvation. Maybe because of their life, or because of their history, or because of circumstances, they may feel that God's salvation is out of their grasp. But grace says you can see it. You can reach out to it, not because we deserve it, but because God has, with unmerited favor, offered salvation to you and me. So grace is the guarantee of God's salvation. It's the way we know that we're saved. Because God has reached out to us in love. It's a guarantee of salvation. But grace is also the assurance of complete forgiveness. As I said, when you say grace, oftentimes we think of it as forgiveness. And certainly that's a big part of what grace is all about. But what do we mean by God forgiving us? Many people, both outside and inside the church, often think of God's forgiveness this way. They imagine that God, because he's such a good guy, one day just says, "You know what? I forgive you. I just forgive you. Let's just let bygones be bygones. Let's just forget about those sins. I just forgive you." And that's the way the world often looks at God's forgiveness. Sadly, it's often the way we as Christians look at God's forgiveness. But it's not biblical. God does forgive, but it's not cheap. What I mean by that is this. I needed to be forgiven. You needed to be forgiven. But we needed more than that. I owe a debt. You owe a debt. Paul tells us the wages of sin is death. I owe death because I'm a sinner. I owe that to the Holy God because I'm a sinner. I owe a debt. And God just can't simply, by the wave of his hand, cancel my debt. Somebody had to pay that price. Somebody had to pay the debt that I owed for my sin. And I think here this morning we all know who did that, right? Jesus did that. Jesus paid the debt by dying in my place. He paid the debt that I owed in my place. That's certainly the beautiful picture of grace, but it helps us to understand that grace is sacrificial. Grace is costly. There was a price to be paid for my forgiveness and your forgiveness this morning. And Jesus paid that price. I couldn't pay that price. Jesus paid it for me and for you. Grace is knowing that we have complete forgiveness, that our debt has been paid, we are at peace with God through Jesus Christ. Grace is the guarantee of salvation. Grace is complete forgiveness, and grace is knowing eternal life. In that famous passage in Ephesians 2, Paul writes, God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ. Salvation through God's grace means a new, abundant, and eternal life. Salvation by God's grace means a new way of living life, a new way of looking at life, a transformed attitude about life here and in eternity. Grace is about eternal life. It's about more than forgiveness. It's about the life that we have because we're forgiven. Eternal life, abundant life, purposeful life, eternal life. So grace is the guarantee of salvation. Grace is complete forgiveness. Grace is eternal life. But grace also means spiritual gifts. What do I mean by that? If you read the scriptures at all, you know that we are saved to serve. God has chosen you and me. God has, by his grace, brought us into peace with him through Jesus Christ to serve him by serving others and to serve him through all of eternity. We're saved to serve. And the beautiful truth is this: God calls us to serve him, but he also gives us the gifts to do it. He gives us the spiritual abilities to do the spiritual work that he's called you and me to. Paul puts it this way in Romans 12 and verse 6. We have different gifts, different abilities, different callings according to the grace given to each of us. God graciously supplies spiritual gifts, enabling and empowering us to serve him. That's why in that earlier definition, we read that grace is salvation, but it is also the power for sanctification. Sanctification is just a big theological word that means living out our faith in the footsteps of Jesus. Living as Jesus, having the attitude and spirit of Jesus, the values of Jesus, living the kingdom way, the kingdom of God way. He enables us and he empowers us to do that through grace. So you see, grace is more than just that we're forgiven. It's so much more than that. It means the debt has been paid. It means we have eternal life. It means that we can serve God effectively and joyfully in his kingdom. God's grace. If that is what God's grace is, and that, trust me, is just a small glimpse of what grace is. There's so much more we could say about it this morning. Then I certainly need to ask myself, how do I respond? How do I respond to God's grace? Well, I think first and foremost, we need to recognize again this morning that God's grace is amazing. It's amazing. We love to sing Amazing Grace. You know, it's one of the most popular songs in the world. You hear it in places far from the church, far from these kinds of settings. Amazing Grace. But you know, we always must be aware that we could take God's grace for granted. We could take his grace for granted. We need occasionally to be reminded, like we've been doing here this morning, of the magnitude of God's amazing grace. The Apostle Paul, one of those early Christians and early missionaries, if you will, sought to always be aware of how amazing God's grace is. Let me just read one passage. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, this is what he says about grace, reading verses 12 through 16. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointed me to his service. Even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense passion, patience, as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. That's Paul's personal testimony. Paul was saying, I remember how amazing God's grace is, that he would choose someone who once was a blasphemer, who once persecuted the church, someone who once was violent. He would choose him, transform him, and make him into a believer and a leader in the church. Paul said, I'm always amazed by that. Always amazed by it. You know, we can kind of sometimes begin to take God's grace for granted. And when we move away from those times and we begin to just kind of take our faith for granted, how important it is for us to keep going back and seeing, beholding how wonderful, how amazing God's grace is. Recognize how amazing it is. How amazing that he saved me, the worst of sinners, that I might have peace with God and eternal life. How should I respond to God's grace? Don't take it for granted and don't abuse it. The Apostle Paul reveled in the wonder of God's gracious and complete forgiveness by grace, but he cautions us also to be careful that we not abuse the free grace extended to us. In Romans 5, Paul said that as sin increased, so grace increased. But he goes on to say in chapter 6, that's no excuse to keep on sinning. Just because God will forgive you, that's not an excuse to sin. Because when we truly understand grace, we understand that grace transforms us and grace frees us. If it's simply about forgiveness, this is what I've been trying to say. If it's simply about forgiveness, it can become cheap, right? But when we recognize that God's grace is about more than forgiveness, it's about transformation, it's about eternal life, it's about new life, then we truly are living in God's grace. So how should I respond? Recognize that it's amazing. Don't abuse it. And allow it to transform. Allow it to transform you. More than offering forgiveness for sin, God's grace moves us toward holiness. Paul puts it this way in his letter to Titus. Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Grace is more than forgiveness for our sins. But grace is the power of God in our lives to transform us. Paul said it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Grace teaches us. How does it teach us? The Greek word there for teach literally means to educate or discipline, as in the education or discipline of a child. Paul's drawing a beautiful picture of the power of grace in our life and in our midst as his people. When we walk in grace, when we live in grace, when we have a clear understanding of it, when we have a constant appreciation for its amazing magnitude, then we are being individually and as a people, we are being purified in godliness. Paul said, if you understand what grace is, you'll be eager to do what is good. I've thought about how countercultural that comment was. Paul was raised in a very legalistic faith, the faith of Judaism of that time. A faith that said people will only do good if you impose the law on them, if you threaten them with the fear of God's retribution, the fear of eternity without God. And the idea was that as we impose the law on people, they will be eager to do good. Paul knew by experience that certainly wasn't true. And we probably know that by experience as well. Just because someone says you must doesn't necessarily mean we will, right? And what Paul is saying here is just the opposite. He's saying, as you recognize God's grace, as you recognize His forgiveness, His kindness, His mercy, His goodness, your heart will be changed, and you will be eager to do that which is good. Grace has a power. God's grace has a power to transform us into His people. Paul challenges us to be faithful stewards of God's grace. This morning, we rejoice in His grace. We rejoice in the forgiveness, the eternal life that is ours. This morning, let us open our hearts to God's grace. Have you opened your heart to God's grace? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know that He died on the cross for you? Do you know that you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ? That's the greatest way to respond to the grace, isn't it? Is by opening your heart to His grace today. May we walk in His grace. May we not give in to the temptation to be legalistic, but may we walk in grace, believing in the power of grace to transform us and to give us eternal life. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Where would we be without Your grace? We thank You for the forgiveness. We thank You for the mercy. But also we thank You for the power in our lives and in our world that is known through grace. Open our hearts, Lord, to Your amazing grace. Amen.